desire within us, and we will allow that, God, oh, to work in us. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Today we're teaching on the spirit of a servant. Now, there are many people in our world that serve in some capacity, but not everyone has the same motive, the same intent. And today we're going to take a look at what Jesus did and how he conducted himself and how he served his people. A servant, in case you're making note, a servant is an attendant. One who gives himself up to another's will or another's desire. A servant is one who is devoted to another to the disregard of his own interest. A servant is one who waits upon, takes care of, and serves or ministers to others. And a servant will take on many jobs, many types of jobs, and make it his responsibility to help and to assist and to share the burden of another. And I'm asking the Lord to help me take on the mind of Christ and allow his mind to operate in me so that I can be like him. Because in the mind is the seat of desire and will. Amen. If you want to fulfill his desire and his will, then you need his mind. Hello? And he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he disregarded his own status. He didn't run around bragging on his power and his ability, but he went around serving and ministering to the needs of the people. Is the Bible true? Amen. And we're going to learn a little bit more about the spirit of a servant. I know just by observation and kind of looking at my own life that serving does not always come easy. Serving does not always come easy. Inconveniencing yourself doesn't come easy. It's not always a natural response either. But there's good news. The spirit or the heart of a servant can be developed in you and I as the children of God. I personally believe that being a servant or serving can become a lifestyle. It can become a standard of living, especially when you're walking under the influence of God. Somebody say amen. And I've come to this realization that true servants of God look for things to do and ways to help the church, the mission, the ministry, the will of God. They want to see it accomplished. And true servants will actually find ways to help facilitate the work of God. Can I get a witness in the house? Job 36 and verse number 11 says this: if they obey and serve him, and it's referring to people obeying and serving the Lord, this is the result. It says, to those who obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. That means they will be successful. Now, not based on the world's standard, okay? But they will be successful in the eyes of God, and they will abide under the favor of God. He will make sure that his servants prosper, those who obey him and serve him. And also their years will be spent in pleasure. That means happiness and enjoyment. And I said this to my young men just a few weeks ago when I was teaching this. I actually have experienced this. I feel like I am prospering. I feel like I am successful. Now, that doesn't mean I drive a nice car and live in a big house and have a ranch and have all the things that I want in this world. What that means is I'm successful in his eyes. Amen. And Jesus makes me feel like a success. Amen. Has he ever made you feel that way? Hallelujah. Has the Lord ever made you feel like you're a successful man or woman of God? Amen. The Lord has a way of doing that. And I personally have enjoyed life. I haven't had a lot of things as far as material wealth, but all my needs have been supplied. And I am happy, and I enjoy living. I enjoy every day that I'm alive. One preacher said, or was asked this question, well, how are you doing? He said, man, I'm doing great. I'm doing fabulous. Any day above the dirt is a good day. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. So there is a blessing to you when you obey and you serve the Lord. Jesus declared, I am among you as he that serveth. And of course, he demonstrated this. He demonstrated what he said. When he said, I am one who serves. In fact, I didn't come for you to raise me up and to build me a throne and build me a palace and a castle. I didn't come for all that. I've come to minister and to serve my people. Amen. And of course, Jesus would never ask any of us to do anything that he hasn't done himself or that he wouldn't do. Initially, this is my observation. Initially, we serve others and we serve the work of God because it is taught. You know, I teach my children to do certain things, and they do it not because they want to do it, but because daddy or mama says, do this, or go there, or pick up that, or grab a chair, help on the platform, pick something up, pick up paper, trash, you know, give the pastor, give the minister some water. They do these things because they're taught. It doesn't mean they have the spirit of a servant, but they can develop that by making themselves available and by being obedient and submitting to the order that has been placed in their lives. So initially we serve others and we serve the work of God because it's taught and in some cases even demanded. But eventually we can develop a nature, an attitude, a heart of a servant. And then when we develop that, it's no longer a job, a task, a burden, but it's a joy, it's a delight, it's a pleasure to serve you. Amen. And I think that I personally have the greatest pastor in all of the world. Not only is he a great preacher, not only is he a great dad and a great husband, but he is also a great servant. He's a great minister. In fact, I don't think there's anyone in this church that serves more than our pastor. Our pastor is a true minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that to lift him up, but I do want to give honor to whom honor is due. And many of you see him just in the light and with the microphone and preaching and laying hands upon people and baptizing. But let me tell you, he does a lot more that you don't know anything about. He serves every day of the week. He's always serving. He's always blessing. He's always ministering to somebody. Being a dad requires the heart of a servant. Always got to take care of the kids and go here and feed them. You know, they want to stop over here and Dad's the chauffeur until the kids get old enough to drive. Then they can put on that hat. So as parents, we actually teach our children what serving is all about. In Christianity, the Lord's servant is a very devoted character. And he is vital to the function, to the operation, to the ministry within the church and the kingdom of God. In fact, Servants of God will actually take on, they will share, they will help carry the burden of the work of God. And the work of God can become very burdensome. It really can. But it is so good when you've got people to come alongside you. And I was telling my youth group just recently, I said, when I first come here, I had to make all the phone calls and put together all of the calendars and put together all of the different events I had to set up. I was there to facilitate, to organize. I was there when everybody left, and I was the first one there, and I was the last one to leave, and I've done that for years. But now we've worked with some people, and they've taken on that heart, that spirit, that attitude. Amen. They've taken on the form of a servant, and now they're just always available. What can I do? Just send me. Just tell me what to do. I'm ready to do the work. And so they believe and they understand really the value of sharing the burden and the work of God. Of course, this principle is illustrated in the Old Testament as well. And I will use just one or two examples. If you look at the life and the ministry, the powerful ministry of Moses, he was used by God to not only call the people out, but to deliver them from the land of Egypt. Do you remember the story? Amen. But we find that Moses was not alone. There was several men in his life, and I'm just going to name one or two today for sake of time. But one of the men that you find with Moses and under the shadow and under the ministry of Moses was a young man by the name of Joshua. And Joshua is referred to as the servant or the minister of Moses. What an honor. These armor bearers that we have, you see these guys, they're not up here just to be seen. They're up here because we've put together an armor bearers program, a ministry really, of helps. And they are there to help make sure that we have church and that everything is taken care of. And there are small jobs and there's big jobs, and you see them working all the time. And I think I've even told him, I said, if you guys are going to worship and get carried away, make sure one eye is open in case we need something. Amen? Is this all right so far? All right. So Joshua was there, and everywhere Moses went, there was Joshua. When Moses got off that stone he was sitting on and went to walk over here, Joshua got up from where he was at and made his way. He wanted to get close enough and stay close enough to Moses just in case he needed something, and he was there. And you read that when Moses got ready to make that trip up that mountain, can you imagine an 80-plus-year-old man climbing a mountain, and he's got two tables of stone with him? I wonder who helped carry the load. I believe it was Joshua. I believe that elder Moses, when he began to climb that mountain, that Joshua was right there giving him a boost and giving him a hand. You know how we get when we get a little older? Our knees, they're not quite as flexible. And sometimes you wake up and you have swelling in different places and you wonder what is wrong. It's called getting older. So Moses is 80 plus years old, and he has a young man there to help him. So when Moses moves, Joshua moves. When Moses goes to church, Joshua goes to church. It's there. You can find it in the Bible. After the Lord had his time of dialogue and communion with Moses, amen, and the cloud leaves, the next scene you find Joshua is still there in the house of God. So when Moses went to church, Joshua went to church. Whatever Moses needed, Joshua was one of those men that was there making himself available. I don't find in the scripture where the Lord said, Joshua, I want you to do this and that for Moses. I haven't found that. Now, if you find it, let me know. I'd like to understand that a little better. But I haven't found any verse of scripture that tells me that God dealt with Joshua and told him to do thus and so concerning Moses. I don't find that. But what I do see is that Joshua, this young man, admired the ministry and the work that God was doing through the ministry, and he wanted to be a part of it, and he just made himself available. I don't know if he had great ability, but he had availability. Amen. And whenever Moses needed something, he was always there. Somebody say, that is a servant. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Ooh, praise the Lord. And now personally, I have tried to do that, not because I wanted points with the pastor, But it was just maybe it's something that the Lord just put in my spirit. From the very first week, if I recall, I've always been involved in the work of God. Whatever was going on at the church, I was there. And I worked a full-time job, and I worked two jobs. Had a full-time job in the daytime and worked a part-time job at night, but I was always at church except for when I just absolutely couldn't be at church. And when the grass needed mowing, I volunteered. When the pastor's house needed painting, I volunteered. Amen. When his car needed washing, I washed it, if I can recall. And when we wanted to expand and add some bathrooms in our church facility, I was there. And I never had any music lessons, but I realized we didn't have a drummer, so I said, well, I'll just give it a try. I have handled a couple sticks and beat in my room. You know how kids are, just always, you know, just doing something, you know. And so, in fact, I don't even think I waited on the invitation. I just presented myself to the leadership of the church. In fact, my wife did the same thing. She was playing a French horn in high school, and to my knowledge, that's all she knew how to play as far as musical instruments. And we were left with no music. And so my wife went up to the piano one night, no music, and she said, I would like to play the piano. And she sat down, and we laid hands upon her, the ministry, and we prayed. And the next service, she was playing the piano. Not because she had ability, but because she made herself available and God blessed. Now, every song sounded pretty much the same in the beginning, but we still managed to have a good time in church. Praise the Lord. In fact, I get calls from pastors around our fellowship, and they say, hey, Brother Sapp, do you know of any young men that would be interested in coming to our church? We've been here X amount of time, and we have no music. We have no keyboard player. We have no worship leader. We have no drummer. We have nothing. We have church, and we play YouTube videos, or we have a CD player or an iPod, and we just run it through the system, and we just get up and have church the best we can. So initially, I wasn't able to do anything about it because we didn't have much to offer. Our musicians weren't trained at that particular time, at least our youth musicians. But now, thank God, through time and development and an investment, we now have an array of young musicians that can sing, they can play, and they can do all types of things on these musical instruments. In fact, there's more than you've seen, okay, up to date. And so now we're sending them here and we're sending them there. We're sending them to Clewiston to help that missions work that's only running 10 or 12 people, and we're getting ready to send them up to Brother Shear up in Stewart or Jensen, Stewart, Florida, getting ready to send a group up there. Amen, because I believe in serving the ministry and serving the man of God and serving the mission of God. Somebody say amen. And see, what we have to understand is that when you serve the man of God or the men of God or the leadership that God has placed in that local church, you are serving the mission. And when you are serving the mission, you are serving God. And God will make sure that you succeed and that you're prosperous and that you have a happy life. Somebody say hello. Amen. Now, there may be some bumps, but you can have a happy life. Somebody say amen. I believe that. All right, so you serve the man Moses, you serve the mission. By doing so, you are considered a servant of God. In fact, when you read a few chapters later, Exodus chapter 17, the Amalek came up to fight against Israel. And Moses told Joshua, obviously Joshua was a warrior. In fact, when you read the book of Joshua, that dude conquered. I mean, he was a conqueror. But Moses spoke to Joshua, and he said, I want you to go and make war against the Amalekites. And Joshua was like, no problem. Consider it done. And it didn't matter what it costed him. When the man said it, he was going to do it. He would inconvenience himself and take care of the job at hand. And so Joshua went down, and he got the army together, and they went to fight against the Amalekites. And Moses said, Josh, I'll be on the mountain if you need me. And so Aaron and Hur went with Moses on the mountaintop. And some of you, or perhaps most of you, know the story. Moses stretched forth that rod. And whenever the children of Israel seen Moses with his hand outstretched and that rod in his hand, the Bible says that Israel prevailed against the Amalekites. But after a period of time, the Bible tells us that Moses got tired, he got weary. And so Aaron and Hur found a stone, which I think represents Christ, and they put it under Moses, and Moses sat upon a stone. And he was able to keep his hands lifted. And they were able to see, amen, that their leader still had his hands up. A sign of victory, and we can overcome. And what God has done before, He will do it again. The same God that divided the Red Sea will give us victory today. But after a period of time, Moses' hands got tired. His arms got tired. We couldn't hold his arms up by himself. But thank God he had two more servants named Aaron and Hur. And Aaron and Hur said, we got to keep the victory. So we're going to get on one side and we're going to get on the other side. And we're going to lift up the hands of our leader and we're going to serve him. And by serving him, we're serving the mission and we're being pleasing to God. Hello. Amen. And they obtained victory. The Bible says, as they discomfited the enemy. That means they overwhelmed them. That means them boys got a whooping. Moses couldn't do it by himself. He had to have servants. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? I can't do what I'm called to do by myself. I have to have people with me. Our pastor can't do everything that needs to be done by himself. He has to have help. That is the way of the Lord. And we, as this local assembly, are becoming servants. And we're helping the man of God. We're helping the mission of God. And we're becoming the servants of the Most High. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you clap for a moment? It's Sunday school. It's all right. All right. Let me see here. The Bible says, this is what Jesus spoke himself. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but he came to minister. And he came to give his life as a ransom for many. He could have had someone build him a throne and a crown, a beautiful golden crown with gems and jewels. He could have had all that. But instead, he humbled himself. And he became the minister to all. And we who have his spirit have access to his mind. And we too can become servants of God. And we can help each other. We can strengthen each other. We can support each other. I don't know how you feel, but I know that I cannot make it by myself. I need somebody to help me. Amen. Why don't you wave your hand if you feel that way? If you're honest enough, just wave your hand and say, I need somebody to help me. That's why this is the body of Christ. And the members serve one another. Hello. Praise God. And if we follow the Lord, we will become like Him. The more you follow Him and you walk in harmony with Him, the more like Him you become. And as he did, you will also do. And you will take on his spirit and his heart, and you also will become a servant. Now, when you read and you look at Scripture, the Bible referred to the prophets as servants of God. And the prophets even had men that served them. David is referred to as a servant of the Lord and a servant to the king. Daniel is referred to as the servant of God. Someone turn to Romans chapter number 16 really quick. Romans chapter number 16. I'm going to try to find that and read that. If we can't get it on the screen, then I'll just read that for for you. I only have a few minutes left, and I just want to mention this individual. Romans chapter number 16, verse number 1 says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. Somebody say, go Phoebe. And she is commended, and she is referred to as a servant of the church, which is at Kenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a secure of many and of myself also. And then, of course, he begins to recognize and acknowledge other people who have labored and who are servants of God and servants of the church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And that number includes a man and his wife by the name of Priscilla and Aquila. And they're referred to as helpers in the ministry. They are servants. And Paul said they laid down their lives for this ministry. They sacrificed much. Jesus taught that if you desire to be first, or if you desire to be the greatest, and some have that desire, then he said to you, you will be last and you will be the servant of all. And that's in Mark 9. Mark 10, again, he reiterates and he tells us and he teaches us. He says, we do not exercise lordship like world leaders, like the Gentiles do. But he says this, but if you're going to be the chiefest, if you're going to be the greatest, if you're going to be the first, he said, then you will be the servant of all. Even so, the Son of Man, and of course he continues, he came to serve. There's something wonderful about a Christian man or a Christian woman when they serve the work of God, when they're not afraid about being, or they're not worried, rather, about getting, their name heralded. They're not worried about recognition. They're not worried whether or not the whole church knows what they're doing, because they're not in it for the glory of man. They're not in it for the praise of people, but they're in it to please God. And they have found a way. They have found a way to be a blessing. Rather than just, you know, give their tithe and offering, they found a way to be involved in the great work of God. Somebody say amen. Colossians chapter number 3, I'm giving you some more information, says Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. What that means, what that says is, don't do things just to be noticed. For example, you know how we are. When the boss man, when the manager is there, when the supervisor is there, we're going to work extra hard. Oh, yeah. Now, I worked in a mobile home manufacturer, so I know all about that. When the boss man stepped into our department, we were all busy, we were sweating, and we behave as if we were working on this all day at this pace. But for some reason, when the boss man leaves, we're like, take five, guys, take five, take five. You know, when the cat's away, the mice play. But not the spirit of a servant, not the true servant. The true servant works no matter who's around. And he understands that he's not working for man, but he's working to please the Lord. In fact, he knows that man cannot honor him and reward him, but it is God. All good gifts and perfect gifts come from above. Amen. My inheritance comes from my Father. And so he is telling the servants, obey your masters in all things. But don't do it with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, in sincerity, and in honesty, fearing God. Do this in reverence to God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing, now this is what we need to know. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. I thought I was working for, you know, Clayton. I thought I was working for, you know, the Palm Beach Post. Well, yeah. Yeah, you're working for them, but you're serving the Lord. Amen. And this is how you know someone is serving the Lord. They're obedient to their employer. And they comply with the rules and with the standards of their job. All right? As long as it doesn't conflict, you know, their conviction. You know, there are certain things we don't do, certain places we don't go, certain things we don't say, or certain things we don't wear. Not because no someone has made us do this or that or so forth. It's because we serve the Lord. And everywhere we go, on every job, we're concerned about what he thinks. Amen. And we obey our school teacher. We obey our employer. We obey the ordinances of God. In fact, we obey them that have the rule over us. We obey spiritual leadership, not because we fear them, but because we reverence God, because we want to please the Lord. Amen. I'm obedient to my pastor, and he can correct me at any time. I don't do that to get on his good side. I do that to stay on his good side. I do that because I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm not looking for, to be elevated. I'm not looking for my ministry to be promoted. Now, years ago when I was a younger minister, I used to, it was everything about me. And I can't wait to preach camp. And I can't wait, amen, till I get the invitation. I'm just sitting by the phone. But now after I've matured a little bit, I realize that it's not about my ministry. It's about his ministry. It's about his kingdom. And whatever I need to do or I'm able to do, I want to help the overall ministry of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what I have to do. There is no job too low. In fact, when I was setting up for that meeting last night at 10 o'clock at night, I was setting up for that meeting that we had this morning. I was in there worshiping. I'm like, just set the tables, just clean them a little bit, put the chairs under there. I didn't do that for points. I done it because I'm a servant of the Lord, and I enjoy serving because I know that if I serve the man of God and the ministry and the church, I'm serving the mission of Jesus Christ, and I am pleasing to the Lord, and the Lord's going to bless me, and the Lord's going to bless you. Amen. The Lord's going to bless us. Let's all stand to our feet. It's 2:52. Got to finish early. Praise God. I hope you understand what we're trying to convey to you today. Because sometimes we can be busy serving, but have an ill motive. And we can serve just to get ahead. But Joshua didn't serve to get ahead. Joshua served to get Moses where he needed to be. And that was on that mountain. And when Moses got on that mountain, God started speaking. Hallelujah. And we're here today because of what happened on that mountain. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Is this all right? Other good examples in the Bible are of servants, people who had the heart of a servant. They weren't in it for self-gain. They were not in it for promotion. But Esther, she served her time and her generation. And she was a blessing not only to the king, who was carnal, but she was a blessing to all of the Jews. Everywhere, in all the provinces, all of the Jews, she was a blessing to them. And she became a servant. Mordecai, Daniel, the Hebrew boys, they were not in it for, but God did promote them. Everybody say, God did it. Now, he may have used a carnal king, but it was God's business. Amen. So if you and I are going to become truly servants of God within the church and within the work of God, we must learn to walk humbly before the Lord. Walk humbly before the Lord. It does require sacrifice. It does require submission. Amen. If you're going to serve, you have to walk humble. You have to submit your will, amen, to God's pleasure. Resist pride. Oh, that's a big one. I think all of us at one time or another have struggled with pride. We have contended with pride. It's a tough one to overcome, but you can overcome it. Resist haughtiness and arrogance and conceit. These things oppose the heart of a true servant. Galatians 5, last verse. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. I'm reading Galatians 5 and 13. You have been called unto liberty. But he says, but do not use liberty for an occasion to the flesh to get ahead, to get the advantage, to promote your ministry or your place or your position. He says, but by love, that's the greatest motivation. By love, serve one another. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for his word today. Lord, help me to take on your mind. I want that mind to be in me. Oh, Lord, you disregarded your own status. Oh, and you became a servant. And you served the needs of humanity. And you brought salvation to all humankind. And I ask you, Lord, that you would help us as a congregation to take on that mind and to have a true heart of a servant, that we might be pleasing to you, that we might serve this ministry and this mission, that your will is accomplished in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Take a few moments, refresh yourself. In just a few minutes, we're going to start our main message.